You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Fake Fruit. It is possible to try to generate, to manufacture, to push out kind of certain things that the Bible talks about, and it's really not real. It's not him. And there are people that are nice, good, ethical, moral, law-abiding. There are a lot of good things, but you say, well, what's wrong with that? I've said this for years. Being good is never bad. It's just never going to be good enough. And there is a difference in you being all of those things and being a godly person and bearing fruit the way the scripture describes it. And we'll see what that is in a minute. Go to Psalm 1, verse 1 and following. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Different than the way the description starts, this other group of people. Okay, so what is he like? A tree. Where is the tree planted? By a river of water. What a difference does that make? That the roots will get to that water. And what will happen? It'll bring forth fruit in its season. So this thing of being planted, and as we'll see in a little bit, something being planted in you that brings about the change, something should come out of that. John chapter 15. And before I read you anything in John chapter 15, I need to, probably terrible, I should patent this before I even say it publicly because somebody will steal it. I don't have my phone on me, but I have figured out a way to keep my phone at 100%, my battery at 100% all the time. Not turn it off. What do you think it is? Keep it plugged in. I don't know why I never thought of this before. If I just keep it plugged in and on, it's at 100% all the time. It's crazy. I never have to panic that it doesn't go down at all. It stays at 100%. The second I unplug it, it starts dropping. You say, well, I can't stay plugged in. My cord's not long enough. The power source is inside you when you're a Christian. There's no reason why you can't stay plugged in and be 100%. So how do I unplug? You say, I don't want to do what you want me to do, God. I'm unplugging for a minute. You say, well, does he leave? No. You try to leave him, which you can't. You say, you know what? You just sit there and shut up. I'm going to go do what I want to do, but I'll be back and I'll want mercy and forgiveness as soon as I get back or within a certain amount of time. So you just shut up and stay right there where you're supposed to be and leave me alone and I'll be back. But when I get back, I'm going to expect you to love me like never before. Because I'm going to feel really bad and need you. I'll see you in a little bit. Or in a year, or 2 years, or 5 years, or 10 years. That sounds like a dream relationship. Now let's read John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, this is Jesus speaking, and my Father is the vine dresser, the one that keeps the whole vine, the vineyard, clips things, keep it working. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. So you say, oh, well, I bear fruit. He's going to leave me alone. That's going to get you clipped. You say, but I'm bearing fruit. Yeah, and he wants you to bear more fruit. So what's he do? He prunes that so he knows what to do. You say, but this is painful. You're clipping me. Would you rather be cut off completely, thrown in a fire? No. So let him do the pruning. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. In other words, stay connected. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, you can't cut a branch off and you say, well, but you cut flowers and put them in a vase. And about how long before it smells terrible? It's rotten, falling apart. Well, but I got water for a little while. That's not staying connected. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me or stays connected to me, and I in him, bears much fruit. And then this phrase, for without me you can do nothing. Don't try to live the Christian life without Jesus. You'll end up trying to be nice, patient, all these things, and it's going to fall apart, and people pretty soon are going to go, dude, you keep it going for a while, but then you fall apart because it's not sustainable. You've disconnected, and your charge starts to come down, and everybody can see it and knows it. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This connection. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So he starts talking about joy. Now, by the way, joy is not happiness. You say, I want to be happy all the time. It's not realistic. I wasn't 100% happy at either of my parents' funerals. I had tremendous joy, though, because I knew for them there was nothing better. Nothing. A little bit sadness for me, but I had joy in the midst of my sadness. How do you do that? You don't do that without him. You say, well, I'm doing okay my way. Okay, I get that. I've played that game before too. But let me tell you something. Your way is going to run out, and all the time you're burning up, you don't get back. Well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to accomplish this, and I'm going to do it all by myself. Oh, that's brilliant. Keep reading. Verse 11 again. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now look, what did he just say? I'm telling you a commandment, like 10 commandments, commandment. This is not optional. And what does he command them? I'm telling you that you love one another as I've loved you. That's not possible. How am I going to love you the way that he loves me unconditionally without reservation in Christ? That's how he loves me. And he's telling me to love you. I can't do that. Unless he does it in me and through me, then I can. So you cannot disconnect yourself from Christ and expect to be Christ-like. When you are connected to him and that is unbroken, then you find yourself loving people you wouldn't have anything to do with. Keep reading. Greater love has no one than this. So you want to find out whether you love someone? Than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And what did he command us to do? Lay our lives down. If you lose your life for his sake, you find it. If you try to save your life, you lose it. He says, lay your life down. No, I can't trust you. You're going to ruin my life. You know what? You don't need Jesus' help ruining your life. You're doing a great job by yourself. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Servants don't know everything's going on out, but a friend, hey, this is what the plan is. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm up to. Here's where we're going. Oh, well, thank you. Now I know what's up. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now people say, well, I don't understand this. The Bible said whatever I ask for, that he would give me. It doesn't say that. You cannot jerk that verse. What is the context of the verse? Connection. Abiding in him. Him and you. Obeying him. If you have that connection, you're not going to ask for the foolish things you're asking for. You can't even get it out. You can't even get the words out anymore. Oh, dear God, I need, you know, you don't need any of that. Now, you might honestly say, wow, I would love, you know, it'd be cool to this, but you know what? I got food and clothing. I'm good. There's nothing like being with someone who expects nothing and then something extraordinary happens to them and they're genuinely overwhelmed and appreciative. And God keeps showing up and surprising me all the time. You say, well, you have more than food and clothing. Yeah, but if you listen to me pray, I usually always pray that. I thank you for food to eat and clothes to wear. And I don't ever want to forget that that's what he promised. And everything beyond that is completely ridiculous abundance and excess. Almost embarrassing excess. And yet he supplies everything I need and beyond. Romans chapter 10. So this is Paul writing to the church at Rome, the Christians at Rome. Romans 10 verse 1, brethren, in other words, they're Christians. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So you have people, they're zealous. I'm so excited. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to perform. I'm going to get God to love me. And you start out of all that excitement and perseverance, I'm going to do this Christian life thing. But you leave Christ out of the Christian life. And so you try to be good, what you think is righteousness, keeping a bunch of rules, whatever that is. I mean, I was raised where you didn't play cards, you didn't dance. I mean, it's just crazy stuff you didn't do. You'd end up in hell for doing crazy stuff. It has nothing to do with all that. And people were more concerned about whether you were playing poker than whether you had a relationship that was working with Jesus. I wish somebody would have been all upset about that. This is not about you trying to be a good person and squeeze out fruit, you know. I don't care how hard an oak tree tries, it will never make oranges. Not going to happen. Oh, we're going to tie a rope around it and talk to it real good. Okay, just try. That's not what it's made to do. But as a Christian, Christ moves in your life, things start changing, and all of a sudden, fruit, just when the tree's healthy, what happens? You go, oh, wow, look at that stuff popping off my branches. Stuff that I could not generate on my own. So it's not of your own effort, your own work. It's just staying connected. And then all of a sudden, this stuff appears in your life. And we'll read some of that in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So this is to anyone who's become a Christian. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So you say, well, wow, that happened to me. I'm completely new. Then why do I look and sound like the old person? It's going to take some time to clip that stuff off. And what's terrible about religious people, judgmental religious people, is that they come along and go, oh, you shouldn't be doing this or that. And that may not even be your biggest problem. I've said this publicly a number of times. If you're smoking crack and cigarettes, the church will buy your cigarettes if you'll quit smoking crack. You say, oh, we shouldn't be buying cigarettes. I'd rather you smoke the rest of your life than smoke crack. Well, that just didn't sound right. Because we want everybody to be perfect like we're not. And I'll just feel better if you get fixed and leave me alone. But I'm going to tell you what I see. The Bible doesn't say don't remove specks. It says get the beam out of your eye so that you can see more clearly to remove the speck. We're supposed to be in the speck removal business, but that is a very gentle knot. You know, hey, I got a garden hose, hoping you're out here a minute, you know. I'll hit you one time. I'm sure it'll go away with your eyeball. All right, maybe go to Galatians 5, and I'm going to read you the simple version of this, what the bowl of fruit should look like or can look like. Galatians 5, let's go down to verse 13. For you, again, brethren, so to Christians, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, to be free, not keeping a bunch of rules and regulations. You say, well, if I don't keep the rules, I'll be out of control. No, you won't, because he's going to lead your life. It is actually easier to follow a bunch of rules than it is to follow Christ. Easier to be in prison than to be free. In prison, you don't have to make any decisions. They tell you when to get up, when to go to sleep, when to eat, when to do whatever you do. I don't have to make any decisions. Jesus says, I set you free. And you go, oh, I don't know that I want to be free. I'd rather be you telling me what to do. He says, well, let's do that then. Okay, I feel better. I'm free, but that means I'm free to trust you and obey you and follow you. Okay, so brethren, you have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Oh, Jesus set me free. I can go live like hell. That doesn't sound right. It doesn't work. But through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So by the way, there's at least three categories. You're a non-believer. You're not a Christian. And one of the categories there is you're not a Christian, but you are claiming that you have religious guidance for people, and you end up, you're apostate, leading them astray. So you're not a Christian, and you're not leading people to Christ. Then you got a category of people that are Christians and not walking in the Spirit. In other words, they're unplugged, they're still Christians, but they're not connected, they're not abiding. And so their battery's going down and things are getting out of hand. And then there are people who are connected. It doesn't mean everything goes perfectly, but at least the power is there for it to work. So look at what he says. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there's really, if you're a Christian, there's only two things could be happening. You're either a Christian that is not walking in the Spirit, so you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, or you're a Christian that is walking in the Spirit, and the fruit we'll read in a minute is being manifest, popping out all over you, and everybody can see it. You say, oh, I'm feeling exposed. Why would you feel exposed? Because I'm the first one of the second one. I'm a Christian, but I'm not walking with God. Are you telling me everybody can see it? Pretty much. Well, I don't want to be around people that can see it. I'm going to go find people that can't. Oh, that's going to work out really well for you. So by default, if you're not walking in the Spirit, what are you doing? Walking in the flesh. And what's going to happen then? Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Another bunch of rules. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Now this is where it's going to get alarming. And this is kind of where I was going with people trying, I'm nice, moral, ethical, I'm a good person. But here's where that falls apart. If you claim to be a Christian and you're nice, good, moral, ethical, and you're not walking in the Spirit, what is really going on that people can't see is this. You say, wait, but I'm a nice person. This is the list. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. You say, oh, what a big word to start with. I'm not an adulterer. Jesus said, if you even look on a woman. So you say, oh, well, let's leave that one off. I just technically have not committed adultery. It is almost impossible for a man, if he's not walking in the Spirit, it is almost impossible for the average man, even Christian man, not to commit adultery in his head or in his heart. So you say, well, I don't want to be an adulterer. Then walk in the Spirit. Fornication. So you think, oh, I thought they left me out. Adultery, somebody in the deal, you're married. Fornication, you're not married, still doing the same thing. You say, oh, but technically I'm not doing that. But let's do a head and heart exam. Oh, no, no, we don't want to do that. Uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not the God stuff. But then look at the next list. But the fruit of the Spirit, so who's generating the fruit? An apple tree generates apples. Who generates fruit of the Spirit? The Spirit. So if you say, Holy Spirit, I want to be connected in the right way so that my life produces the fruit that you want to produce in my life, not the stuff that's listed above. The fruit of the Spirit then is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, and you cannot claim to be a Christian without living in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And if you go through this list, love, it's not this friendship kind of love, it's agape love, it's this God kind of love. We do not have that on our own. It's only God loving us and through us that can be generated, that kind of fruit manifest in your life. I don't care how nice you are, you run out of love sooner or later. I'm done, I'm tired, you know, you've screwed up too much, I'm finished with you. And God just says, no, I keep loving you, I keep loving you. There may be consequence, but I keep loving you. And people know when they're at the other end of that kind of love, not conditional, but unconditional. You say, well, but what if you have to, somebody screws up, you got to throw them out of your house, all those things. That doesn't mean the love stops. There may be consequence and boundaries, but the love never stops. And they get that. They know that. Love, joy. We've talked about joy a little bit before. The definition on this is cheerfulness. That is calm delight. Part of the definition given. Peace. For me, peace used to be the lack of, I either was anxious or less anxious. And I thought that was peace. I never experienced any peace. And by the way, hell has all kind of counterfeits, all kind of fake fruit that he serves up. And usually there are conditions that go with it. Oh, I have something that'll calm you down. How many people do I have say, well, I was all anxious, I smoked a little weed and I felt better. And it's an herb. Oh, that's my favorite answer. It's an herb. God made it, so it must be okay. God made gravity too, but it doesn't mean you have to think you can fly. So you say, well, this is how I negotiate my life. Why don't you let Jesus help you negotiate your life? I had no idea what peace was. And then you get connected, you get plugged in, and all of a sudden it literally is. The Bible talks about a peace that passes all understanding. And when you get that, you'll go, I am not interested in that less anxious stuff I used to think was it. Anxious, less anxious. Never get to zero. Never get to anything. So the devil does not want you experiencing the fruit of the Spirit, because if you ever tap into this, that bowl's out of artificial fake fruit. Now, it doesn't mean you can't go back to it, which clearly is possible if someone's not walking in the Spirit. But when you're walking in the Spirit, the cylinder's all fire in your life. You feel better and people around you are impacted by it, and they want a piece of that fruit. I said to somebody just a few nights ago, I love honey and I love honeycomb, specifically honey and honeycomb. And I go to places and they charge too much for honeycomb. It's crazy. Like, what do you think this is? You can't charge that for that. But I'll get a little bit because I love something about the honey and the honeycomb. And finally, the other day I said, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm getting my own beehives. And then I can have all the honey and honeycomb that those bees can, you know, I'll be nice to them. I'll get them near flowers. Bring the honeycomb. Now, why would I go a step back and say, I now want my own beehives? Because I love what they produce so much. I want my own way to produce it so I don't have to wait to get it. So when someone comes upon the tree of your life and they look at you and they go, wow, you love me, don't you? Yeah, I love you. But you don't like to kind of love me like you really love me, like I really love you. How do you love me so much? And what's your answer? Because somebody explained to me that Jesus loved me so much that he let his only son die on a cross, be buried, and raised from the dead to save my sorry backside. And so now I understand that God loves me, and I have a love for myself, and now he's given me a love for you. But dude, I'm a screw up. I could betray you. I'm still going to love you. I can't explain it. I just love you. And people go, dude, where did you get that? That tastes amazing. I got to get me some of that at my house or in my house.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
So part of what causes them to come to Christ is the fruit that the Spirit bears in our lives. They taste it in our lives. And they go, this is real, isn't it? You didn't just like duct tape this banana to that branch. No, it's a real banana. You can peel it and eat it. They go, wow, this is amazing. I got to get me some of this. And what is some of this? It's Jesus. And so then discipleship is not just introducing them to Christ, but being the bait. And then saying, okay, now let me tell you, this is how it works for me. You got to stay connected, because if you don't stay connected, it's going to go haywire. Yeah, I'm going to get mean again. I'm going to get all the list. My list's going to kick in. So, you know, don't hold me. You know, I'm telling you, I can get sideways on you. But I can show you how it's supposed to work, and that's what I'm trying to do. Okay, I can deal with that. Because everybody that becomes a Christian is going to find out pretty quick, I can't make this work all the time. I get plugged, unplugged, you know. So look at the list. Joy, peace, long-suffering. Can you suffer for a long time? I can only go so long. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, kindness, goodness, self-control, faith. This is not the little train that could. This is God kind of faith. And that definition, by the way, in the word faith is especially reliance upon Christ for salvation, abstractly, constancy in such profession, by extension of the system of religious truth itself, assurance, belief, faith, fidelity. meekness, temperance. My mama used to say, you can't fake real. Actually, you can. You just can't fake it indefinitely. And even if you fool me or I fool you for a while, nobody's fooling Jesus. And at some point, you're only fooling yourself. Why not get in the real deal?
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.